Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
We especially at this time hold the heads of government worldwide, that they make their decisions out of the power of love rather than the love of power. Noticing our thoughts, releasing any thought about the future, any thought of the past, presencing ourselves to right now. Right now, right now. Envision silver white light moving up your spinal pathway like a spinning silver disc, moving up, 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 even through the back of your neck area, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Placing your attention at the point between your eyebrows. Now, as I speak these words, for me and for you in the I person. There is one infinite presence, power, divine force, infinite essence, one God, one divine mind. It is the fullness of wisdom and creativity and unconditional love, being omnipresent. It is everywhere present. Therefore, it expresses not only around me, but in me, through me, and as me now. Today, right here and now, I am willing for any and every physical, mental, emotional and spiritual challenge and inappropriate behavior based on old ideas, beliefs, and feelings to quickly and completely disappear. The infinite fashioned me out of itself and is working for the unfoldment of consciousness. I acknowledge the Christ potential within me, and I am filled with the strength and wisdom and understanding and supply that I need to meet any situation. I release worry, doubt, fear. They are nothing trying to be something. Knowing that my thoughts are the seeds of the crop of my life experience, I turn from worry and focus my attention on knowing the presence of God is here. I focus my attention on the grandest version of the greatest vision for myself, my life, and my world. I'm thankful for this conscious realization of who I really am. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them, and most of all, I'm thankful for life itself. And so it is, and it is so. Keeping up with yesterday, avoiding today, and fearing the future. Makes you wonder why we do it. It's like an octopus and kind of has its tentacles in all areas of our life. It's about escaping from living the present moments as fully as possible. Neil Donald Walsh, who I read quite regularly in one of his daily readings, said the other day, from March 3rd, the reading was, worry is the activity of a mind which does not understand its connection with me. And of course, he's speaking as though he's speaking God, presence, and power. Worry is an activity of a mind which does not understand its connection with the infinite presence and power. So several things I'd like to address today, and the purpose of this topic is for us to self-reflect, always about self-reflection. This is about, you know, looking at ourselves and, you know, just really looking at, so do I worry? What do I worry about? Do I have a willingness and an openness to eliminate it and release it? Do I procrastinate? What do I procrastinate about most of the time if I procrastinate? And do I have a willingness and an openness to release that in my life? Because it is keeping up with yesterday, avoiding today, and fearing the future. And then I want to complete the topic later on by asking a very important question that I hope that you will take the time to answer at least very shortly here, but dive more deeply into it when you go home. What do some people worry about? No, I made a list here of some of the things that I've heard people worry about, and I've also thought about what they kind of have so-called justifications for these worries. Their health. Well, you know, I could die at any moment. Dying. Well, no one wants to die. I heard a story one time about somebody going to see a psychic and asking the psychic where they were going to die. And the psychic asked them, well, why do you want to know that? And the person answered, well, I'll never go near the place. Some people worry about their jobs. If I don't worry, I might lose it. Economy, well, someone has to. The government doesn't worry about it. Security, if I don't worry about it, I'm liable to end up in the poorhouse. Money, worry about money. If I don't worry, I might go broke. Getting old, well, no one likes to get old. Of course I worry about getting old. Talking in front of groups. Well, everybody's afraid to do that, aren't they? Our children? Well, I wouldn't be a good parent if I didn't worry about them. Some people worry about having nothing to worry about. I would ask you to truly go home and make a list of some of the things that you've worried about in the past, or maybe you're worrying about, you know, pretty frequently. And really look at that list and ask yourself, What hasn't happened on this list? And if it hasn't happened, stroke it off and be willing to say, I refuse to give it any more attention. I refuse to give it any more attention. You know, worry is a choice. A couple weeks ago, I was telling you about one of my spiritual mentors that used to, in the middle of a lecture, because these were lectures that went on and on for all weekend, he'd stop and say, choose, soul! I jarred our preserves every so often, you know. Because we realized everything was a choice. And so is worry and procrastination. You know, society tends to encourage us to worry because sometimes it equates it with caring. Worry has nothing to do with caring for people, and it certainly has nothing to do with loving people. When we worry, we waste time and we waste energy. It's like we're putting on our brakes. Worry is a mental capacity, quality, and it's like putting on our mental brakes, and it's like wear and tear on that mechanism. You ever driven with your foot on the gas pedal and one on the brake? I'm sure that you would know that you'd be damaging your car's mechanisms, many of them. So when we worry, we're resisting, we're struggling, and we can create strain on our heart. Ulcers have been attributed to worrying, hypertension, some headaches, and some backaches. I don't know where I got this quotation, but I wrote it down anyway, and I think it's a good one. Worry is your funeral, all arranged by you. I love that you brought a song, Vida, about fear, because when we really answer the question, truthfully and honestly, what is underneath our worry, no matter what the worry is, it's always fear about something, fear associated with something. And here at the center, we love the acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real. It's appearing to us as real. You know, now with so much talk and watching television, about the war, are we willing to be our own warriors, but a warrior a different way? A warrior instead of a worrier. In the psychological martial arts, to develop ways to conquer fear. That's being a warrior in our life. Developing ways to conquer fear. Asking ourselves the question, will the problem that I'm perceiving change as a result of my worrying? Of course the answer is no. You know, we can actually convince ourselves that something's impossible for us to achieve. And therefore, we're slipping into being a worrier instead of a warrior, developing ways to conquer our fears. You know, it's been said to empower ourselves to ask ourselves the question, what's the worst that could happen here? And not so much to get in and dive in and live there and build a condo there, but visit it. Visit it. So it is no longer an unconscious fear driving us. Many of you know that in our family, my husband Norman has had some very severe health challenges. And we consider him very, very fortunate to be alive because he's had four strokes and he's had two falls in the last year, 2 years. And sometimes people ask me, like, you know, Gail, how do you, you know, keep doing what you're doing and going on and running the center and being his major caregiver and like that? And I got to thinking about that at a little bit deeper level, and I realized that when the crunch happens, you know, Perhaps, you know, one time we woke up in the middle of the night and fell. And I immediately said, because he did have a history of stroke, I immediately said to him, I want you to say this sentence. My name is Norman Schultz and I live in Victoria. And he couldn't say it. It came out, I knew he had a stroke. It was to take him to the hospital. But then in the days and hours and weeks following, in the hours following, but it helped me in the days and weeks following, that I got to thinking, so if he were to die, you know, what's the worst possible here with this particular situation? Then what? And to visit that, and to visit it deeply. And not move in and build a condo there, but to visit it. And I absolutely know that I would be all right. And of course I would want him to be here and stay. But I know I would be all right. So it's something to look at that. No matter what's presenting itself to you, what's the worst possible scenario here, and how would I be with that? Would I be all right? And the answer is, choose, soul! It's your choice whether you're going to be all right. You know, sometimes people have a little bit of a challenge with saying, well, you know, especially like now with the wonderful book, The Power of Now, and we even have a study group once a month with it, and it's such a transformational group and such a transformational book, and the people that are coming are saying they're getting so much out of those evenings. But it's the, do I live in the now? Right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. What about goal setting and planning my life? How do we reconcile that? Well, it's easy to reconcile that. We do goal setting. We do life planning. And we don't spend a condo there. We don't live in the condo there. We don't move in. We visit it. We look at it. We ink it, we don't think it. And then we have these goals, dreams, aspirations down, hopefully in writing. And then we presence ourselves to the right now, right now, right now, right now, right now, as we move forward in our goals and dreams and aspirations. So the two can be reconciled. You know, when we worry, what do? We put things off. That leads into procrastination. We get into stewing instead of doing. And of course, we've spoken about that we're human beings, not human going tos. We're human beings, not human doings. But we're far more than rocks. You know, just sitting there. There's spiritual consciousness in rocks, too. You know, today's two leading killers are lifestyle-induced. Two major contributors are stress. Well, worry leads to stress. And the other is inactivity. That's that goes hand in hand with procrastination. So worry and procrastination are very much tied together. I love Wayne Dyer's writings, and I've read every one of his books, and I remember one of his first books. Well, maybe not his first, but do you remember The Erroneous Zones about 12 years ago? He calls procrastination the closest there is to a universal erroneous zone. And Louise Hay says that procrastination comes from, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. And of course, everything that we do at the center is for us to uncover, discover, and wake up to the magnificence that we are as spiritual beings going through this human experience. There's neurotic phrases that some people that are deep into procrastination use, and their delight defers. They defer our delight. Well, I hope things will work out. I wish things were better. Maybe it'll still be okay. I'll wait. I'll wait for it to get better. I'll wait and I'll see what happens. Those are killers of dreams, and delight defers. Do you know there's good news in procrastination, though? It's one area where we can clean up without a lot of hard mental work, because it's we alone that create procrastination. So it's over here. Not like we have to wait for anybody to change or have some specific communication with them or whatever. And there's kind of degrees of procrastination. It could be like, you know, putting off just so that you complete it prior to the deadline, and it's almost like, well, I work best under pressure. A little bit of laugh of recognition. Or allow the absolute minimum amount of time to justify a sloppy job. Or to justify not accomplishing the whole vision. Or, did you ever think of this? Complaining about how much there is to do is a form of procrastination. These non-doers are often critics. And boredom is a spin-off of procrastination. It entails not using up the present moment in a personally fulfilling way. Not using the present moment in a personally fulfilling way. Sometimes we unconsciously justify procrastination because it's a form of escape or avoiding. It's certainly a way of eliminating or avoiding change. It's an easy way of blaming something or somebody else. It's a way of getting sympathy. Maybe a way of manipulating other people. So how do we oust this? How do we eliminate this? I'm going to get back to that word elimination in a moment. We use TNT. Today, not tomorrow. Today, not tomorrow. We take action, and that action energizes us, because worry and procrastination is about immobilization. Immobilization. Sometimes we look at a big project or a job and it almost looks like overwhelming, and it's really easy to worry that it's not going to come together, and it's really easy to procrastinate, put it off. But it works, it really makes it easier and works for us to divide it into smaller packages, into smaller projects, you know, smaller projects within the project. All the way down to doing and living 5 minutes at a time. And when we're looking at the 5 minutes, then we also say, right now, right now, right now, right now. Of course, setting aside specific time, prioritizing and using the time as planned, of course. Did you ever think of these three D's? Do, dump, or delegate. You got a long to-do list? Go through it with those three in mind. Which of these am I going to do? What am I going to dump? And what can I delegate? And dump means dump! I'm not going to rummage around the garbage can again for it, that little list. And check off what we have absolutely no power to change. Many of you know one of my spiritual mentors by writing is Paramahansa Yogananda. And this is what he has said. No sensation or mental picture or thought can affect you if your mind is disassociated from it and anchored in the peace and joy of God. And remember, so many topics that we address at the Center on Joy, and the whole month of June is joy, the spiritual focus. Joy is the unmistakable evidence of God's presence and power that resides, you know, it's been said within our hearts, but it's within every cell of our body. It's the soul of us. It's soul, who we are. Sometimes people say, well, you know, Gail, I just don't have the time. Well, I remember when we moved here and we decided we wouldn't rent anymore because we rented a house that was supposed to be ours for 5 years and the people hated the mainland, came back in 1 year and we had to move again. And I said to Norman, let's build. And then my mind went, the center's only a year old. You know what building takes. You know what time that takes. So I decided right there and then that I would be totally healthy, happy, successful, and well-rested on 6 hours sleep, and that I would begin to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, so we don't have... How many here has more than 24 hours in one day? Does anybody have less than 24 hours in one day? We're all equal there, you see. And again, it's... Choose soul, what are our priorities? I love the book, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People by Stephen Covey. I know I couldn't do the job that I do without the personal and time management that is within that book. Because it doesn't talk about your to-do list and prioritizing it. It looks at your different roles that you play, the different hats that you wear throughout your life. And then you put down your three most important things within each role. Then you can go on to prioritizing and making your to-do lists and your checking them off and scheduling them in, etc. I want to just, I've decided that just before the Power of Now discussion groups come up, which is the second Wednesday of the month, we're going to insert in your program the titles within the chapter of the different paragraphs because they're just so powerful so that you can really make a conscious decision to be there. This next month in April, it's moving deeply into the now. And these are just some of the ideas that are going to be covered. And this is just totally works in with letting go of worry and procrastination. Don't seek yourself in the mind. We're far more than our mind, spelt small M-I-N-D. End the delusion of time. Nothing exists outside of now. Key to the spiritual dimension and accessing the power of now and letting go of psychological time. The insanity of psychological time and the negativity and suffering have their roots in psychological time and finding the life underneath your life situation. A number of months ago, I made a statement that so many people marked down and said, that was just profound. I've been thinking about that. We cannot improve our life. We can improve our life situation. Because our life is whole, complete, spiritual, and divine. It is an aspect of the infinite. But we can improve our life situation. And how do we do that? Choose, soul. Choose. I want to complete by asking you a question. And this is a very, very serious question. If you knew that you only had 6 months to live, and I'm not talking about being seriously ill and debilitating and getting worse by the day, but if you knew this, that you only had 6 months to live, would you change your plans? Would you change your plans today, tonight, tomorrow? Would you really look at every aspect of your life? 6 weeks. 42 days. How would you want your life to be? Who would you want to spend some time with, or most of the time with? There's some people that you love absolutely, that you have never told. Are there some people that you appreciate so very much, and you never have taken the time to maybe lay your hand on their shoulder, look them in the eye and say, I really value you and I appreciate you. Are there some things that we would truly, truly share with our children if we have them, with our grandchildren? Just to lighten this up a little bit, my husband Norman wrote an autobiography like this with the computer a few years ago. It's about 80 pages now, I think, and he always asked me to edit and spell check it, and I'm reading it and I'm going, Norman, are you sure you want to put this in your autobiography? I said, our grandkids are going to read this, our great-grandkids are going to read this. Yeah? He says, yeah. One of my regrets is that I really didn't get to know my parents. My mother died when I was 16 and my dad died when I was 19. And they weren't the kind of parents to sit down and just talk, you know. It was do this, do that, is your homework done? Be home at a certain time? And are you wearing that to school? You know, kind of thing. I shared a couple of weeks ago that the two most used phrases in families now, and this was done by a research done. Two phrases that are used the most in families are what's on and move over. We had 6 weeks to live. Do you think that that would change? Where would we go? Who would we see? Who would we visit? Who would we not spend time with? Love at the Core, we did number 9 yesterday. One of the key phrases on Thursday was, love does not allow itself to be abused. It is so sensitive, it gets out of the way of anything that would harm it. Do I value my own love? How would we be with us, with me, with ourselves? How would we treat ourselves? And I know as we go away from this place, it might be too upsetting of a question to ask. Not like a question to worry about, but definitely a question for us to stop procrastinating about some things that need to be done, some things that need to be said, and some people that we need to spend time with. Would you agree? So I would ask you to just very deeply be with that in the next while. And to do some action out of that. You will never regret it. You will never regret it. One of the things that I did when I came home after my near-death experience a number of years ago, which was a very severe automobile collision, and I came home and I looked out at the Alberta fall, the leaves were turning and it was so beautiful out our backyard, and I stood there and cried. I cried because I had another chance to live the life that I was meant to live. And I had another chance to tell those that I love, and I love them absolutely, and those whom I appreciated and never told, I had another chance. So hopefully none of us need to go through a near-death experience to do that. It certainly was my path, and I hope it doesn't need to be yours. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of your lives.